A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
From the home of time.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team. Woo!
This is Charlton Live. Charlton Live.
Charlton Live. So, good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. It's a big match preview here with Wallin Mula Mendes on your first evening on Maritime Radio.
Maritime Mendes.
Maritime, that's my nickname on a weekend, actually. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio here at the Valley, fresh from his escapades.
Don't talk to me about that.
On the Fylde Coast in Blackpool is Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, still fuming.
Still fuming?
Reeling.
Yeah? You only just got back.
A few hours ago, yeah.
Yeah. And joining the pair of us in the studio here at the Valley is Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nathan?
Living the dream.
Yeah.
A bit wet out there, isn't it?
Bit wet.
Got a nice laugh when I got in.
Yeah, it was soaking wet when you come walking out. I didn't even realise it was raining. I've been here for hours. On tonight's show, we will be hearing from a Mr. Carl Robertson, as of course yesterday the transfer window slammed shut, as they like to say on Sky Sports News, at 11 o'clock. And our business was concluded for the season. Fairly positive business, in my humble opinion, but we'll hear what Carl Robertson made from it, and we'll hear what you guys make of it as well. We'll hear from Carl on Nicky Adjose, the return thereof. I can hear hashtag Oliver K crying somewhere in the background with joy. We're also going to talk about the takeover, try and give a little update on it, not that we know much more than anyone else. Discuss our trips to Blackpool and their various merits if we get time, and of course look ahead to this Saturday's game with Oxford United here at the Valley. Obviously, because the transfer window has slammed shut, I've just put out on Twitter, we want to know what you guys have made of our business this January. So you can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. There's a thread on the Charlton Live forum for tonight's show if you want to have your say on the business that the club has done during January. We're interested to know what you thought of that. But first things first, let's hear from Carl Robinson. Obviously, like I say, the transfer window did shut yesterday, and he was given his thoughts to BBC Radio Kent's Tony Hutt.
Carl, the January transfer window is shut. Has the last month been a roller coaster of emotions for you, with so much speculation regarding comings and goings?
I just didn't sleep much last night, which is strange. I think I was still so, the adrenaline of the day, obviously, of we had a number of things late on that we turned down, and it was important that we kept everyone here. Took bravery to say no to things. I think things of the past might have been a yes maybe, but we hung on to onto our players, which is brilliant.
On that subject, you've been able to keep one of the club's brightest prospects in Esri Konsa. How difficult was that?
Yeah, it was difficult. There's a management aspect of it now that we have to go through, obviously. I think when everyone's sort of close to achieving a Premier League sort of status in some ways as a player, it's always difficult to get that in your head. But for the right reasons, we feel that if he gets us promoted, he's more of a, in some ways, he's a bigger asset of it as a Championship player playing than what he is in League One. But fundamentally, I think if you look at it, we knew we brought in 5 loans. I was told by the owner the problem with selling them is it's such late notice. We knew we couldn't buy anybody, so we just felt that he said to me, if you can get rid of him, you can get a loan. Is it a possibility? I said, we can't bring any more loans in. He said, well, he's not for sale, and that was the conversation, and that was where we were at. And it's brave, but we keep one of what you class as probably our biggest asset. There's rumours about Tariq, Josh McGuinness. There's 3 or 4 things that could have materialised very late on that didn't, which for me is a tremendous testament to what I always wanted. And it's nice that when a manager asks for things, he gets it.
So there were other inquiries for your players?
Yeah, I was planning a very quiet day, and all of a sudden 10:30, as you know, I wasn't well, and I got about 14 missed calls by about 8:45, and as you can imagine, I thought, oh no. And we met in Continental in the O2, and we set up base there, and we came across to the valley about 4 o'clock and just concluded one or two things that hopefully weren't going to happen. And I want to publicly put on record, once you thank Stephen Gallant, and since he's come in the building, I think when you see the recruitment protocol that we've gone through, I think he's done an unbelievable job. I know he's a pro licensed coach, and he's coached at every level, but to go into a new role and to adapt himself, we were even talking last night with the press lads that he's really sort of fell into that role. He's good with people, and he said he knows what a good player looks like, and I want to thank him for the work that he's done as well.
Tariq, you said there was interest in him yesterday. How serious was that?
It came and went very quickly, so I think if he was being fit, it would have been a lot longer. If he would have been fit, I think it would have been a lot longer.
And this across me as interesting vote in late on how important is it to keep.
I'm not going to say what football club, because I don't want to. It was massively important, but we turned down a substantial bid. Everyone can speculate who that was from, but it was real, and. I didn't feel we could replace that type of player so quickly, and that was the end of the deal.
Chief executive, who says no to these deals? Is that Roland or is that
Roland?
Okay, right, and is that via Richard?
I spoke to Roland via email with Stephen Gallen yesterday, more than I've ever spoke to him. There was Richard Murray who was fighting obviously on the Charlton side of it. The lads were in there when we were receiving emails. Very clear, very precise. Nope, he stays. Or one of them was, what do you think? What do you want to do? Well, I want to keep him, stays. Alvarez, I think it's right that we keep him, he can stay. That was it, and that was the.
Yeah, it's hard to get your point across by.
No, it's probably easier for me. I imagine a scouts are trying to speak to someone on the road, it doesn't really go down too well. So I think even when I speak to the lads here, I think email's the way forward now. You can understand me better, especially when I've got a cold.
There's Carl Robinson speaking about the end of the January transfer window. It slammed shut at 11 o'clock last night. I mean, the club confirmed that our business had been concluded just before then. Apologies, of course, for the sound quality there. They don't put microphones on the journalists, so when Jake from the news shop is talking, you can't hear him, so I boost it, but then you just hear, I don't know, weird noise. So sorry about that, but I think that got the point across. So, you know, just in an overall summary, Tom, the end of January, we've lost Ricky Holmes. We've lost, Carlin's gone on loan to Crawley, Aaron Barnes has gone out to Colchester. Incomings, we've seen Steffi Mavadidi, Michael Zairo, Sully Kaikai, all on loan. And, of course, Nicky Jose's been recalled from his loan. So that's what's gone in, that's what's gone out. Overall, cons have stayed. Happy?
Yeah, I am. I think in the short term, we're stronger. I know how much of a big player Ricky was, but I think if we're being honest, he hadn't looked himself for the last few games that he'd played, and he was being double-marked a lot of the games as well. But I also think maybe his head was no longer here. And, you know, if he's not in that frame of mind, then he probably wasn't right for the club anymore. I think the players that have come in all are going to offer something. We spoke about Zairo briefly last week. I don't know too much about him, but from what people have said, he could be an exciting prospect. Sully Kaikai a little bit more. I know him from his days at Cambridge United, and I know that's a division or two lower, but he looks like an exciting player. Konza staying's obviously a massive bonus as well. And I mean, we were just talking then off air, the club have posted a photo showing the number of people we've got per position. I think when you look at that, it's a strong squad. As I say, it is the short term because they're loans, and looking ahead to the takeover and next season, we're going to need more transition and more change again. But I think it's a squad that's more than capable of making the playoffs now.
Nathan, in the position we were in where we knew that we weren't going to be able to spend money on permanent signings, I guess this is probably as much as we could have hoped for, especially considering other than Holmes, who, you know, let's not forget he is a great player, Ricky Holmes, and he has done a lot for us over the last 18 months. But, you know, he was slightly off form when he left, and we feel like we've bought in players who on paper could replace him. Certainly Kaikai from Palace is meant to be decent. So considering the way he had restrictions on him, Carl Robinson, do you think he'll be pleased with what he's got? I mean, you heard it there, he was.
Yeah, I think all things considered, I think it's a very good window. I mean, exactly what Tom said. You know, Ricky, throughout his time, had won us games on his own, some games, but with the two replacements that we have got, which is with Soleil and obviously Zyro, it's a different way of playing as well. I think sometimes when we had Ricky Holmes, our play was so predictable. It was a case of we'll get it, switch it to the left, JL overlap, Ricky will either play it down the side, he'll just cut in and try and have a shot. It was so predictable, whereas these ones are a bit of an unknown sort of commodity, really. And I think it's I think a lot of people will be looking forward to Saturday to see what we can bring, especially, like you said, Sully and obviously Zyro. Mavididi, we know what he's about. But I think we've got so much, that six now without Clarkey, but that six now is very strong, so...
And of course, Fosse's coming back as well. You know, cliche time. It's like a new signing, and he was excellent when I was so looking, because I think he was going to start at Blackpool, and so I was really looking forward to that. Obviously, yesterday was specifically transfer deadline day. As the day progressed, you know, it started off quite quiet, really, on a Charlton front. It was only sort of where Richard Corley tweeted there was still half a chance with Ezri Konsa going, and then we saw a little bit of interest for Josh McGuinness from Bolton, which didn't, you know, they ended up selling Gary Medine to Cardiff. So we saw that thinking, oh dear, are they going to come back in for him or anything like that? But it sounds like there was never going to be any way for us to replace him. Carl mentioned there was a very brief bit of interest in Tariq Fosu as well, but he said that came and went very quickly, I assume, when we turned around and said no.
Yeah.
But I mean, cons are the first one. When we saw, I mean, Carl joked on Saturday after the postponement at Blackpool that he was ill, although it turns out he is ill, but and his phone was broken. And, you know, so at that time I thought, I think there is half a chance we might keep him here. And obviously whatever happened, it sounds like bids came in throughout the day. Nothing came of it.
Yeah, and I think that's a big statement, you know. A lot of people are worried about the asset stripping. And obviously when Holmes went, there was a... is Roland looking to cash in on everything he can before he sells? I think the fact we haven't, whether Roland wanted to get rid of him or not, the fact that he hasn't gone is obviously a great sign. I've said I'm not sure personally whether he's Premier League ready yet, but I know Premier League clubs are on the radar and I probably expect him to go in the summer. I mean, maybe if we get promoted, we can convince him that a season in the Championship is going to help his development. But either way, we've now got him for the rest of the season. And unlike Ricky, who like Nath says, has been fantastic for us, and I don't want to discredit what he did for the club when he was here, but unlike that, Konsa, his head seems in the right place still. He seems to be, you know, he's pulling out good performances still. He doesn't look like his head's been turned. And if he can keep that up for the rest of the year, it's a good thing for him, because he... You know, Carl can say, well, go out there and do your thing, and people will be looking at you in the summer. So,
yeah. Jake asked some good questions there during press day, where he was asking, you know, who turns down the bids? Because, like I said, we were all sort of preparing ourselves for it getting to transfer deadline day, someone coming in and offering 4 million, and rather than going, yeah, I'm not going to get 4 million when I'm gone, so I might as well take it now, or something along those lines. So, the fact Carl sort of implied that there was communication and between them, they all turned it down was I don't know, I just found that quite interesting. I don't know if that doesn't really. Prove anything, but it wasn't really what I was expecting.
No, you know, when I expected Konsa to go, as the time went on, I thought the price was getting higher and higher, and the nearer it got to the end of the day, I was thinking, well, maybe it won't, but I did think it'll go through. Is there a correlation between the takeover and this? I don't know, because obviously if someone's near to obviously taking over, then obviously, you want to keep your assets, but I don't know. Who knows? I could be barking up the wrong tree. But, yeah, I expected him to go. And the interesting for me now is how Konsa reacts. I think Cole touched on it. Is he going to be at the races? Do you know what I mean? Is his head going to be turned? Or he'll still be professional, don't get me wrong. But is his performance going to suffer? That's what I'm very keen to see.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Yeah. Surely not. I mean, I think, he seems fairly level-headed, Konsa, and I'm surely he knows that he's a young lad, and this chance will come for him again at the end of the season. And you know, he has played every game. He's turned up to every game. It's not like in the build-up to January he was slowing down or anything like that. Now, obviously, since we didn't play on Saturday, and then therefore we didn't come in on Sunday to do a show and talk about the players that have come in since then. So we know in this window, Mavididi, we've seen him already a couple of times this year. He's looking excellent. Michael Zyro, now obviously we've chatted about him coming in this time last week. I'm not sure if he would have started or not. I've got the impression I don't think he was going to start if we had played Blackpool, but now we're a weaker a week along in training, so that'll be interesting to see whether he does start on Saturday. But Sully Kaikai, now he's coming on loan from Palace. He came in on the Friday night, wasn't eligible to play at Blackpool on Saturday if he'd gone ahead anyway. So, but because he's only just come in, so we can talk about him, Nath. He's come on loan from Palace. Mm-hmm. He's got a hatful of goals at this level for Shrewsbury Town.
Yeah, and I assume he's fit and raring to go. He's going to have a task to get in front of a lot of people now. Obviously, you've got Mavididi, Fosu, Marshall. So, yeah, it's interesting. It keeps us guessing, and I'm looking forward to Saturday because it brings a. We don't really know what we're going to go with. Will we give Marshall a rest? I don't know, but I'm looking forward. Kaikai looks, from what I've seen, which is limited. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've scouted him every week, but he looks promising. I spoke to my little brother. He said he's promising, so we'll just have to wait and see. Very direct.
Yeah. No, Tom, your views on Kaikai? I mean, so there's a guy who writes for Palace for South London Press who always seems to rave about him.
Yeah, I saw him at Cambridge United. I can't remember if they were still in the Conference or if they were in League 2 by then, but I know it was obviously not League 1, so it was a step down. But quick, exciting. As Nath said, very direct. Both referenced the goals he's got at Shrewsbury on loan. I think he was pretty much one in two there, so... Yeah, it's another option. And like we were all saying earlier, when you look at him, Fosu, Mavididi, Zairo, Marshall, who's obviously come on a lot in the last few weeks and shown more attacking flair, even Reeves, who, okay, hasn't been perhaps at his best, offers something different. Mm. You've got Jose up there, again, offering something different. And McGuinness, who, people have been critical of, and rightly so, because he hasn't scored in a while, but... We know that he has goals in him, so there's just so many options up there. It's exciting, and I personally think Kaikai and Zairo probably start on the bench on Saturday. Sort of people we can then bring on because we're three unbeaten, and you don't want to make too many changes. But yeah, it's just nice to have those options on the bench as opposed to having to rely on the likes of Rico, who has come on and done well when he's been asked. But it's not really fair on someone like that.
Yeah, now we'll talk about Nicky Adjose in a little bit because we've got some audio from Carl Robinson that we'll hear. Now, in terms of outs, as we said, Josh McGuinness was linked with a move to Bolton by Richard Corley, the South London Press sports editor. Do you think it was just too late in the day? Were you surprised? I mean, because a lot of Charlton fans are looking at his... he's struggling in terms of goals at the moment. Mm. I still say he does bring certain things to the team. I think his link-up play is not too bad. I think he's excellent defensively at set pieces, that sort of stuff. He has scored goals earlier on in the season, so obviously Phil Parkinson up there, isn't it? Bolton obviously sees something in him that makes him think he could play a higher level.
I think as a striker, you're going to be judged on your goals, and I think we've all defended Josh McGuinness a lot on this show. The longer it goes on without a goal, it gets harder and harder to defend him. And I'll admit as much as anyone that he needs to be scoring more goals for us, but he does do a hell of a lot of work elsewhere, and I know for some people that's not enough. And as I say, the longer he goes without a goal, I start to see that point of view more and more. But the point is, as you say there, if he'd have gone yesterday, well, then what do we do? It's fine saying, well, he doesn't score anyway, so let's get rid of him. But who are we going to have? You can't necessarily then just rely on a Jose to have to play up there on his own, or Zairo, who at this stage is a bit of an unknown quantity for us. So, yeah, I'm glad he's still here. I'm just desperate to see him score and get back into that form, of course, not only for the team, but for him as well. But like I say, now we're in a position where actually, if he is struggling, we can try someone else. And if they get goals, maybe it'll add a bit of competition and fire him up even more.
And Fosu at the last minute, like I say, some sort of fleeting interest. I mean, it would have been hugely disappointing to see him go after he's just... We've had to do without him for so long, and he's just come back and looked really good again.
Yeah, no, it would have been a shame. But the difficulty is with the obviously Josh and Fosu, if we sold someone at that, what was it, 10 off 10 or something, unless we had something in place, which it couldn't have been a permanent because Roland's already said, or whoever said, we can't have a permanent. We've got 5 loans already, so it means if we did sell one of those or anyone else, we would have had to get a loan in. But then one of the loanees would have had to missed out on the match day squad, so it's pretty pointless. So, I was pretty confident, really, any sort of late interest that was coming in. It was only Konza I was worried about. And then, because I thought maybe, we got Bauer and Lennon's back now. And so, that was the only one I was worried about. But you will always get the little flow. You see some silly ones going around about, I don't know, what ones going around? Rebo and...
Just people
probably Jackson to Barcelona was knocking about somewhere. I don't know, it's all silly. But
yeah, it's people
Glad it's done now.
Yeah. People that did go out. So we have lost Aaron Barnes, a young right back, has gone to Colchester. I was slightly surprised to see that because, you know, I always got the impression he was sort of up and coming, but he's obviously seen a chance there for first team football. And when, you know, when it's not someone who's you're desperate to keep, you sort of let him go out there and play. And I think he'll probably do well there. Now, the other one, of course, is I was surprised to see Carlin gone out on loan to Crawley Town. A rejuvenated Carlin's probably since the first quarter of this season. He's really come on leaps and bounds, scored 3 or 4 goals in all competitions, starting to get chances again. So were you surprised to see him go out on loan?
Yeah, I was really gutted as well, because I agree with you. I think he's come on a huge amount under Carl, and he's looked dangerous this season. Okay, he may not have got 10 league goals, but in some of the other games he's seen, he's scored some good goals, and he's looked like he's got that killer instinct a little bit more than he's had the last few years, and that final touch and that final finish, which is what I think he was lacking when he was being thrown in at 17, understandably so. But if he's got a chance to play a lot more first team football, then I understand why he's made the move. I wish him all the best, and if he can play for them week in, week out, get a lot of goals and comes back here in the summer, then that's going to do wonders for his confidence. And he's someone we can perhaps rely on a bit more again next year as we slowly try and build him back up.
Right, obviously the other sort of addition to the squad is my awkward handshake friend, Nicky Ojoze. Funnily enough, actually, he was up at Blackpool and I was walking towards him. I was like, oh God, here we go again. And he actually went, all right. And I was like, oh, he remembers me now. But anyway, so he has now rejoined the squad. It was unclear last night. So, you know, the rules are you have to be recalled within the January transfer window. So when we hadn't heard anything last night, I sort of said on Twitter, it's like, well, we'll wait and see what happens. But because it had to be within the window. And sure enough, we found out today that Carl has recalled him. And this is why.
He came to me last week. We had a conversation. I think he accepted what had gone on. In some ways, it was one common goal that he knocked on my door, and he just said, "Gaffer, listen, this we want to get promoted." And I feel that if you need me for one game, if you need me for 15 games, I can play some part in that. He asked whether they think that he would get another chance with the fans. I said, "Well, I think you will." I said, "Because one thing about the fans here, if you go on the pitch and walk around, though, if you go on the pitch and run around, they will certainly accept you."
Is he available for Saturday?
He's got a groin strain. He trained for 2 weeks, but he's not trained for 2 months. So he's had that sort of period. He might be involved in a game on Monday, the 23s. We're not too sure yet, see where he is with that. If not, he'll be in the squad for next Saturday.
So with the first time return to the training ground, you said that he needed to build bridges. Did he?
100% he did, yeah.
So did he apologise to you?
He spoke about wanting to be at Charlton. This is not about Carl Robinson. This is about not offending the club that I work for and I have to look after. And he feels that... I just looked at my squad, and I was speaking to Stephen Gallon yesterday morning. If you look at it, we've got a lot of quick, fast players. We spoke before, they can play up top or in turn or off the right. But we'll lack that goal scorer, probably, if you're being all too critical. That can just stay in the box and not do anything and just go. And I don't think there's many better than Nicky Ojoze out there. So we felt that if he was in the right frame of mind, he knew exactly where I was from. I think he'll openly tell you there was no hiding or ducking the truth. It was straight, it was honest. Tony Watt got an opportunity this time last year. So I can be very fair with players, but I'm equally fair. And what he said to me was quite straight, and that's even a man to score goals.
So there we have it. That's why Carl Robinson says that Nicky Ojoze has been welcomed back into his squad. Now, I have to admit, at the start of the transfer window, I had absolutely no vision of this happening. And then when he was asked about it a couple of weeks when we talked, and he talked about it on the show, Carl Robinson, like we heard what he said on the show, we were all laughing, thinking there's no chance he's coming back. So he's obviously done something right. And like I said, he did turn up at Blackpool. So that does show a sort of level of willing. Now, it's interesting in the club's statement today, they said the Charlton and Bury have come to an agreement, because as it stood, if we wanted to, we could have just said to Bury, nope, you have to keep paying his wages for the rest of the season. So the way they said we've come to an agreement, does I reckon they might still be paying some of his wages. That's just the way it's worded. I might be completely wrong on that, but that's what I believe could easily be happening here. But you know, he's back now as another body in the squad. We needed strikers. We know that. Does he fit this system? Probably not, but it's better than no one, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And look, he's probably not going to be first choice. And you've said plenty of times that, you know, players get a reputation that probably exceeds their actual ability while they're away, and everyone thinks they're better than they are. But he's come back. If what Carl says is true, he seems willing to work for us, and maybe he's realised that, you know, we're potentially on the cusp of something exciting this season. So I'm prepared to give him a chance. I mean, yes, it was just one season at Swindon, but we have seen what he's capable of, and it's a different option. And one of the things we've spoken about a few times is Carl's perhaps reluctance to try something different. Perhaps that was down to his stubbornness, or perhaps it was just down to his options. And now, if he's got someone like a Jose on there, he's got no excuse if we are struggling in a game to throw him on and do something different, whether it's getting balls in, you know, firing crosses in low and he can be on the edge of the 6-yard box, whether it's going 4-4-2, it just offers us something different.
When Zyro came in, I think Robinson did say he's excited now to be able to try different things. So maybe again, it will fit into what we've just said there.
Yeah.
Like Jose, again, a different option, a different type of player. I mean, do you think he's going to bang in 15 goals for the rest of for the end of the season, though, for Nicky?
No, I don't. I ain't being horrible. I don't. I just don't like when he was here. He's obviously got a clean slate now. I just don't think he worked hard enough for me.
He definitely
in my
didn't.
Opinion,
I know, but
I can't stand lazy people on playing for this team. But listen, he's been given another chance. Hopefully, he proves me wrong, gets 16 goals, and then I'll eat my humble pie or whatever. But you know, if whoever runs on that pitch, you know, I'll always be supporting them. But like you say, he's been given another chance, and hopefully he can produce something, even a goal. Because I remember at the beginning, I think it was last season, when he just couldn't score. I remember there was a home game and he sort of skied one over the bar, and it just thought, we always do this to strikers, don't we? But but yeah, so we'll see. But like I said, I can't see him getting ahead of anything. Whether we can, but it's like you said, it's not when we're chasing the game. If we're chasing a game, go 4-4-2, big man, little man, cardboard box, whatever it is. But do you know what I mean? So I think it's something to change. So by all means, I think it's worth a go. But yeah, I don't think we're anywhere near the starting 11.
Cool. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. We'll come back in 30 seconds or so. We'll hear what the listeners have made of our January transfer window.
Taking his man on clock, does really well as well to do so.
Gets to the corner.
Now he's on to take on Buchanan. Keeping the ball. Lovely ball into Konza to the touchline. Konza, reverse ball. Back to Forster. Kaske!
Yeah,
and there's the third. And it's game over and 3 points for Charlton.
So welcome back. This is Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. The transfer window has slammed shut. I asked you guys if you think that our squad is now capable of promotion. What have you made of our business in the January transfer window? Valley Voice says, I was dreading yesterday more than any other window. Thanks to Robbo and all at Charlton for staying strong and giving us hope that we will come good at the Valley. Times are changing and we can see change that is actually happening. Just two things now. Hello and jog on. I assume that's not at us.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it does feel like, I mean, we'll talk about the takeover in a little while as well. You are feeling a bit more positive now about the club than we were at any point in the last 4 years. That's certain to say.
Yeah, because we haven't just sold someone for, you know, selling half the squad. And then we've actually, our recruitment, which we touched on last week, our recruitment's been a lot better than it has recent years, because the people who know football have been left to make the football decision. So, and proof is in the pudding, you get a good little squad. So, yeah, no, it's a little positive vibe. We'll obviously go on to stuff later. But, yeah, no, I'm optimistic. I think if we keep injury free and I'm really positive for this last end of the season, providing we stay injury free and we don't do anything silly and bottle it.
Well, hopefully we won't bottle it. Arnar says, yes, Our squad is very capable of promotion. No excuses now. Minimum requirement of Carl Robinson is to finish in the top six. Any final position below that, then his position should be considered. Now, I mean, in terms of getting his own players in, I mean, he's done that to an extent. He's picked the players there. You know, like I said, we're happy with our recruitment. Obviously, he hasn't been able to get players permanently. So whether that adds something or takes something away from how we would build the squad, and he, like you said, he certainly will, as we have to had to do pretty much every summer over the last 4 years, we have to rebuild an entire squad because the amount of players who will leave on who've been here on loan. But I mean, you know, he's got his tools now, pretty much. Now it's down to Carl to get us into that top six minimum. And I guess that is probably a fair expectation from Charlton fans, that if we fall below that, then we've, you know, we failed,
yeah,
I think.
100%. I said at the start of the season that top six was a minimum. And the squad's slightly different now, but if anything, I would say it's slightly stronger. I know Ricky's a big loss, but it's certainly not weaker than it was. Yeah, top six has to be our aim. It had to be all season. I think looking at the table, those top three people, so probably a bit too far away now, but there's no reason we can't get fourth. You know, we are on a good run. It is only three games, but coming into Oxford, you know, can we make it four on the bounce? And yeah, I think if any other club had this squad and we were sitting here previewing them, we'd be saying that attacking lineup is terrifying. You know, we're going to have to defend really, really well to stop them scoring. So if you flip that on its head, hopefully that's what other teams are looking to do as well. And okay, maybe it means we're going to have to break them down a bit, but we've got so many options up there now and so many different options that we've got to think we can make the playoffs relatively comfortably.
Yeah. And when you look at the pace that we can bring off the bench to run at tired defenders, you know, when there are teams that are solid and hard to break down and they're knackering themselves out for an hour, 70 minutes, and then you bring on Fosu, Marshall, you bring on Kai, whoever's not been playing for the first 70 minutes, to just run at those tired legs. I mean, it's going to be so hard for them to deal with. And we saw it in the last 20 minutes against Walsall here at the Valley, where they defended quite well, but by the end of it, we were running at them and beating them.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, just on the tiredness, is the one thing we used to start doing at the beginning of the year when people sit behind the ball is we used to just go sidewards.
Mm, mm.
But now, the only way you've got to go down the sides, and like Lou said, with that pace, I'd sob myself off. I want to come off that gap. I'm the left back. I'm off.
Yeah.
Sod that.
Well, left back's pretty pacey as well.
Oh, yeah, you did play left back, didn't you?
Yeah. Right, Rhys says, I think for a normal team it would have been an okay transfer window, but in our circumstances with a crap owner who's about to sell and having no money to spend, it was a superb one. To lose Holmes was a shame, but we've replaced him in Kai. We've signed a striker in Zyra, and we've already seen how great Mavididi is. We've also not lost anyone else crucial at all, like Konza, so I'm very happy, and it could have been so much worse. As for getting playoffs, I think it's a real 50-50 chance. Looking at how our rivals did in the transfer window, I think it's going to be four teams fighting for two spots, us, Bradford, Rotherham and Peterborough. But the most important thing is we have a good chance, and I thought that was going to be unlikely at the start of the window. I mean, and that is the thing. I mean, we've certainly, you know, all our fears at the start of the window. Remember, we spoke to Richard Wiseman from the Trust, who'd been in that meet with Richard Murray, and sought assurances that there wouldn't be a fire sale. And there hasn't been a fire sale. You know, Richard Murray said there wouldn't be, and there hasn't been. And, you know, so all fans were seeking those assurances. And until the window did actually slam shut, then we weren't. We never. It was always at the back of your mind. The ones if someone comes in for Fosse, what happens if someone comes in for Konza? But now it is closed. As Rhys says, we have put ourselves right in that window now, in that corridor of teams that can get in that top six, and it's really now the time for us to grab this opportunity and to run with it.
Yeah, and I think we've got every right to be sceptical, because we've seen it happen time after time since Du Châtelet's been in charge, that players are sold, we're weaker than we were, and we struggle, and we drop off towards the second half of the season. The first part of that hasn't happened now. We've kept hold of the big players and we've brought a few players in. So it's important that the second half then follows and our second half of the season is strong. And as I say, I see no reason to believe that it won't be. Obviously, there's every chance that form can change or injuries can come along. But all being well, this squad is comfortably good enough to make those playoffs, and we need to perform to show that we can do that.
Well, Elliot tweets in saying, judging by the players we've signed and the players we've kept, I personally feel that if the season started on Saturday, then we would win this league. We're going into the rest of the season with Kai, Zyro, Mavididi and Ajoze. Losing Ricky Holmes was definitely worth it. I mean, are you looking at that squad now and thinking, oh, imagine if we had this at the start of the year?
Yeah, no, it's an exciting squad, and it's nice to hear some optimism, because a couple of weeks ago it wasn't so. But just touching on the teams that we're challenging, I just looked at the fixtures, and we've got Shrewsbury, Bradford, Blackburn, Scunthorpe and Rotherham all at home.
Yeah.
So I think it's in our own hands, and that's when I say bottle it. It is yeah, not bottle job really, but you know, it's in our hands. We're in a decent position. We've got to play all the big teams at home.
So, and when we've played them away, we've been all right as well. We obviously beat Bradford. Okay, their home record's not good this year. Even when we went away to Blackburn, I thought we were the better team that second half. We bombarded and we just couldn't get the ball in the net. So we've shown we can go away to these big teams as well. And I think we probably, as we have in the last couple of years, stepped our game up against the bigger sides. So if we can continue to do that, probably the Wigan game here this season aside, when they blew us away, I think there's every chance we'll get points against them.
Nathan, you just mentioned it was nice to hear some positive thoughts, so you'll be happy that Mark Newbury's email is subject line positive thoughts. In the chat, best piece of business was keeping Konza. If he goes in the summer, then it will be with a lot of good thoughts, and it does show the maturity of the young man that he's not jumping ship just for a couple of extra quid and the occasional run out in Sheffield. I think with the attacking players Carl has brought in, it means that we can expect at least 5 or 6 goals a game minimum, and finally Josh can get a rest. And if the takeover is completed this month, then the momentum of returning fans can lift the team. Can't pick the starting lineup for Saturday, but it might be a 1-2-2-6 formation. That's Mark, who says he's off to study for quiz night. He's only got the moons of Jupiter to learn now. That's impressive. He's done everything other than the moons of Jupiter. Looking forward to the quiz night in honour of Prostate Cancer UK on the 26th of February. It's a Monday night down at Bexley Heath. Make sure you buy your tickets from the Charlton website for that. It's all for charity. Thomas Cross says, hello gents, very happy considering the situation we were under. Kept hold of Konza. He should have been sold in the summer, at least, touchwood. We shall have a new owners by then who shall reinvest the fee for him into the squad. 11 million still sitting safely in Roland's bank. Referring to Ademola Lookman there, of course. Very impressed with Carl and Steve Gallen's signings thus far. Thrilling to see what they can do with some cash behind them. 100% we have a chance of promotion via the playoffs. Wigan and Blackburn are already up, in my opinion. Fully fit, though, we have the best squad in the playoff pack. Also, I feel the Wembley pitch will suit our playing style. That's a good email.
Too far ahead,
yeah, I hope we find out that you're right there, Thomas, in terms of the Wembley pitch suiting our style. Jacob Starr says, not only we've got Konza for the rest of the season, when we sell him, hopefully the new owners will spend the money from him on new players. And that's a couple of things, you know, people, you know, Jacob there and the email before from Thomas, both mentioning, you know, that, you know, we've seen lots of money come in recently. Johan Bergumson probably went for a couple of mil, Nicky Pope probably went for a mil, you know, Ademola went for 8 going on 10 or whatever it was, and, you know, even Foxy probably got a few quid for. We ain't seen much of that coming back. I mean, Cole always mentions that he ain't spent much money at all since he's coming. It's all wheeling and dealing and, you know, wages and freebies and whatnot. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how we come out of that. Right, let's have another quick break here on Charlton Live. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Throw from Holmes into Solly. Solly cross ball. Foster's on the far side. Gets something on it.
Yes! Yes!
Finished off by Foster Caskey. And Charlton have the lead.
Touched on by Defoe, got it back from Cissé. Cissé and Carrick are after it for West Ham. Powell is covering, Rufus getting back. Cissé went for goal, West Ham lead. Edouard Cissé celebrates. It was Richard Rufus, though, tackling back, and either might have got the final touch. Jensen and Powell together over the set piece. Powell over it. Jensen at it. Charlton level. The crispest of hits from Klaus Jensen. And David James was grasping at thin air. Kermishley's side all square in the run-up to half-time. Klaus Jensen picking his spot and finding it immaculately. By Fish. taken down by Barton. Wriggled away from Boyer. Yule. Parker! 2-1! Smashing move, smashing finish, smashing into the first half for Charlton. And Scotty Parker again is at the centre of it. Jensen over the free kick. Out as far as Fisher, who miskicked. Parker didn't! Charlton have a cushion! Another pure strike from Scotty Parker. It would have been David James, helpless, and Alan Kirbishley with a comfort zone. Ferdinand pursuing it. Taking on Jensen, getting clear of him. Touchback for Carrick. And it got a deflection, it's in! Trevor Sinclair running away from the piece. Carrick had the original shot. It just might be, though, that it went in off Mark Fish. It was Fish's knee that got the last touch. And incredibly, in a game that Charlton lead 3-2, Charlton have scored all five goals.
By Johansson. And run away from Daly. In towards Svensson. And out for Kishishev! Game set match! The Bulgarian has sealed it. And Lee Bowyer, on what used to be home territory, hangs his head. It was his error which led to the confirmation of Charlton's win.
There we go. That was actually last week's Wish We Were There, but we got turfed out last week, didn't we? And I didn't want to put all my hard work to waste, so I thought I'd play it. Anyway, a 4-2 win over West Ham back in 2003, I think it was. Kishishev scoring, always
love that, man.
Glorious. Lee Bowyer playing for West Ham and having a running battle with Scott Parker throughout.
I remember that.
Quite entertaining. Right, no, I think we should mention it, because February was the month we promised the takeover was definitely going to happen. Well, not quite, but it sounds like Richard Murray is, he told the trust that he felt that February was a possible. He's now told staff during this week here at the club that February looks like something should happen in February. So, I mean, should, hopefully, possible. It's still nothing confirmed, but this could be it. Mm. Rick Everett tweeting, put your money on the Australians as well.
Yeah, it's exciting, but as I think we've probably said since the start of the talk, we need to wait for the official statement and we need to wait for it to happen. But
let's just pretend.
Yeah, yeah. If we don't, if we really just dream, and it's obviously, yeah, the best news we could hope for, really. Yeah, everyone's just kind of waiting, aren't they? Now the month's here, we've got 28 days or whatever. Just the sooner the better. Let's just get it done.
We just wonder if the actual fact that the January transfer window, now we're out of that, it's almost a relief knowing now that at the start of the window we were really hoping it would happen as soon as possible so we could make transfers. Now we know where we are, we haven't got to hang on to that anymore. So for us it sort of takes a little bit of the edge off of it in terms of hoping it happens as soon as possible. But, you know, you do still want it to happen as soon as possible so we can have a run at getting ready for the summer. But you do just wonder if that will take some of the urgency away. But like I say, I mean, if Richard Murray's going around briefing staff that he expects it could happen in February, then, you know, fingers crossed, eh?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I think everyone wants it to happen sooner rather than later. But in terms of how things are changed, I'm not too sure. I don't think they'll come in and sack Robbo. I think that'd be crazy if they did anyway. But they can't change anything. I think recruitment, they're probably doing that already for the summer. I think they've probably already spoke to people about contracts expiring and whatnot. So I can't see too much changing. But yeah, I think, like you said, just to know that it's done and it's all over, I think is just... And the main thing for me is the fans will come back. And that'll be nice to see, because it's so scarce down there sometimes.
Because the pieces of the puzzle are sort of slowly coming back now. So we've got a manager who the fans seem to like. We've got a team that's got some exciting players in it. We've got a good connection with the fans. So those are starting to get there, but there is still the huge stumbling block of the owner. Now, there's so many people who are never going to come back while this owner is here. And as you say, Nath, when any takeover comes, it's a clean slate. It's a clean slate for the squad, for the players who've been here over the last few years. It's a clean slate for the supporters. It's a chance for the club to come back together again. You know, there's a Football for a Fiver coming up at the end of this month.
Just imagine
if it's if it's done by then, and all of a sudden the Charlton fans. I mean, you remember like 4 or 5 years ago when it's Football for a Fiver, and you go and ring up your mates and say, you were a fan to coming down Charlton. You know, we haven't been doing that for years. Now, I'm certain if the takeover happens, I reckon we could get a massive crowd for that Football for a Fiver, and it could just be a really special day, and that's something that we can look forward to. Now, something that wasn't a very special day, last Saturday, up at Blackpool. Now, I booked a train. There was a replacement bus service between Preston and Blackpool, so that had me slightly worried. I wanted to get caught in traffic or anything like that. So I decided to get the train, left Euston at 7:30 in the morning. Oh. It was the smoothest ride I've ever had. Got to Blackpool by 10:15. I was like, what am I going to do here?
Who goes to Blackpool that early?
Yeah. Weatherspoons was packed. I went in there and sat there on my own for a few hours. It was really rain. It was raining quite a bit, but it didn't even remotely occur to me that something bad might happen. I got to the ground. Well, it stopped raining by the time I walked to the ground and looked at the statue for Jimmy Armfield and got looked at that, spoke to some locals, find out what was going on. Went in, the pitch looked absolutely fine. Then all of a sudden there was a tweet saying that there's a chance of a pitch inspection. Obviously, I'm not really supposed to go on the pitch, so I was sort of walking around the side of it, just touching it with my hand, thinking, it don't feel too bad. Then Carl Robinson was on it, so I sort of had a quick chat with him, and he sounded a bit worried. And then, we all know what happened. The pitch inspections happened, and this is what we'll hear a couple of times from Carl. This is what he said just as about 3:20, just after the game had been called off.
We're fuming, and I haven't stated some stupid reports by certain idiots that we didn't want this game on. We asked to play at 4:00, 5:00, we asked to play at 1:00 tomorrow. So if their chairman wants to say that we didn't want to play, we need to have a conversation, me and him, because we were ready to play. And I'm not having that about my players. We were here ready to play. Blackpool were ready to play. So the referee made a decision for the safety of the players. I think you see my reaction walking in once I was told it was off. And we're both not happy. We were in great form. We came here full of expectation, full of hope, and unfortunately we've not been able to play, so that's disappointing.
Just some breaking news, actually, while we're hearing that. Brandon Hanlon has signed on loan for the mighty Bromley for the rest of the season. So good luck to Brandon. He banged in loads of goals for Bromley. I think it was last season he was there. Mm. So good luck to him. So there, Carl, obviously not happy. Mm. Now, I walked across the pitch at 2:00. So just after it got called off, I ran across the pitch. And honestly, I did actually think, this is actually quite wet. Underfoot, which you couldn't really see when you were just looking at it, and that wasn't even one of the worst patches. But then I walked back across, 3:20, so an hour later, and the halfway line was playable, no doubt about it. The worst patches were a little bit dodgy, but I mean, Tom, you that is no consolation to you.
No,
that not. I reckon if we waited till 4:00, we could have played. But I mean, you weren't.
Yeah,
you were on the
feel
coach.
A lot better.
And describe your day to us.
I can't. I'm not allowed to at this time of day. It was what a waste of time. Got up at 6:45, got the coach, sat on it for 5.5 hours, wandered around Blackpool, which is without doubt the worst place on earth. Got back on the coach and 5.5 hours back, and that was that. So it was just awful.
Excellent. Well, we heard how upset. I mean, after the the game got called off, the players decided to attend the memorials for Jimmy Armfield, and I say well done to the Blackpool supporters, the way they conducted themselves, remembering one of their own legends, very good, and well done to Carl and his team for going along and paying their respects, both outside at the fan led one and inside with Blackpool Football Club as well. So well done to that. But also we also heard during Carl's rant there after the game was called off, he made an accusation of the Blackpool chairman, which is Carl Oyston, which he's now issued an apology for, which we'll hear here, because he's got the wrong person.
The debacle at Blackpool the weekend was a disgrace. I've got a point on that, actually, funny enough. I had to go with their owner for saying something on Saturday, but I mentioned the chairman. And when I found out who it was actually their owner, not the chairman. I thought their owner was the chairman. So it was the owner, it wasn't the chairman, so I apologised to Carl. But it was the owner that blamed my players who said they wanted the game off. So, I'm not happy about that still. When you've been in the Premier League, I don't think you should have a game called off because of your pitch. So,
AFC Blackpool play down the road, 3 miles away.
Yep. I had a conversation with Carl on Saturday night, and like I say, we two very strong-minded people. You can imagine what was said, and I think I just thought it was poor that the game was off. It was even more poor that my players, because my players didn't want to play, and I don't take that. I think you know how much I'm protective of my club. Don't come from a club or my players.
So there we go. So Carl apologising there for wrongly targeting Blackpool chairman Carl Oyston. He actually meant the Blackpool owner Owen Oyston. And he's a dodgy character. He's a convicted rapist. If you look up his Wikipedia page, he's a bit of a dodgy one. So there you go. So Carl apologises for getting the wrong Oyston. If that is the case, if that is who he's referring to as the owner. Right, let's move on. Now, we already had this week's Wish We Were There, but there was something that would have been this week's if we didn't have last week's ones to play, which is something that happened 15 years ago today. And I'm going to play you the audio, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Charlton looked a fortune. In by Jensen. Fish. Fortune went up. Mark Fish. Deflected it in. And that sums up Sunderland's luck right now. Not just one deflection, but two. Stephen Wright, the unluckiest man of all. Jensen. Kevin Lisby, Scott Parker, Chris Powell. This is good play by Charlton. Oh, it's another own goal! Michael Proctor! Twice in 3 minutes! This really is the stadium of fright. I can't imagine that even in his 20 years as a league manager on and off, Howard Wilkinson has had one of his teams concede two own goals in the space of 3 minutes. You're next to bottom of the league, you can't buy a win or a goal. Well, Sunderland have scored twice, both in their own net. To take. Oh, it's got it again! It's another own goal! Michael Proctor for a second time. Three own goals in the space of 7 minutes. Proctor seemed to turn his back on the ball as it came in from Jensen's corner. And wasn't actually looking at it as it struck him on the back and beat the hapless Sorensen.
Absolutely brilliant. Up at the Stadium of Light on the 1st of February in 2003. We won 3-1 in the end, but all three of our goals were own goals within the space of 7 minutes. Two of them by Michael Proctor. Absolutely hilarious. Right, I think it is time now to look ahead to Saturday's game with Oxford United here at the Valley. Of course, Carl Robinson was there at press day today. A little bit of an injury update as we look ahead to Saturday's game.
Oxford up on Saturday at the Valley. Will we be seeing Michael Zairo and Kai Kai making their debuts?
They'll certainly be in the squad, yeah. I'm excited by that. Mark Marshall's now back, although we had a terrifying flight back on Tuesday. He was telling us all the story, but he then wanted to get back on the plane. But he's now back in the squad training, which is great. We're almost fully fit. We're almost nearly everybody fit, and the treatment room being very quiet. Touch wood. That can continue.
Jason Pearce, is he available to you?
He's probably... He trained on Tuesday. Still a little bit. The problem is with a knee injury and you play the way Jason Pearce plays, it's all or nothing with Pearcey. So we've just got to be careful with him a little bit.
And what was this flight with Mark Marshall?
He just says the worst flight. There was food everywhere and he's just happy to be back. I think he went through the worst turbulence he's ever been through in his life. But he's listen, it was important. He lost a family member just the other week. He was devastated with that. A family member who raised him. And someone he owes an awful lot to. And football is something that we enjoy, and your family always come first. I'm willing to lose a player for the support mechanism of your family. And it was right that we did that as a football club, and we wished him as well as he could be with the funeral, and he thanked us for that. He's a tremendous man, Mark Marshall. People can see how honest he works. And he's back though, he's safe, he's sound. He's a little bit scared when he came in. Typical Matt Marshall, he landed at 9:30. He's on the training ground at 11. And that just shows the type of person he is.
Having suffered a bereavement, will he be in the right?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right frame of mind to play on Saturday.
Is it 100%? The bereavement happened 2 weeks ago when he played two games under that. And he's in a good place, Mark. And he's, I think he's starting to grow on people. He didn't maybe start at the quality that we think, but the last few games he's played, he's been sensational. And now we're getting people back. You've got Charlie Kaikai, you've got Michael Zorro, got challenging for them positions. Reevesy, you've got all these players. And on top of that, Stephen Mavidi and Tariq Fosu flying. So it's like the Harlem Globetrotters when they get going in training. They're unbelievable, some of the things that they're coming out with in training. It's as excited as I've been with a team that I've ever managed.
So there you go, Kyle, talking about the players that are sort of coming back. And, you know, we've got these new players that are going to be available for the squad. You know, Kaikai, Zara is going to be there. Obviously, Fosu's back from injury as well. Now, he's mentioning the excitement he's feeling. I mean, I'm feeling it as well, too, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and as I think we've all said, we've been a bit starved of positive thinking around the team for a long time, and now we've got it. And we've won three in a row. We've got people coming back from injury. We have made these couple of signings, and everything's just looking a bit more positive. Obviously, as the potential takeover on the horizon as well, we're now just outside the playoffs, but only by a point or two. And yeah, we're in a very good place. And the important thing is to not let it get to us, to keep focused. And as I say, I said it a lot towards the end of last season about this season. We needed to have an arrogance, and we need to go into games thinking we're the better team and we can go and win it. And I think at the start of this season we did, and we need to get that back again now. Maybe we have more recently, and if we can keep that going, then we've got no one to fear in this league apart from maybe the top one or two. But as Nafe says, we haven't got to play them except at home for Blackburn. So.
Well, Stephen Jones has tweeted in saying it's all well and good having decent loan signings, but we will see how good they are on the pitch, not on paper. I'm sceptical until I see what they can bring to the squad. But, you know, we will find out over the next few weeks. But like I say, on paper, they should be decent. Matthias says, how close was Josh McGuinness to going? Well, I don't really know, but it sounds like he was asked and we decided we couldn't get anyone else in, so said no. He says he's looking forward to his trip to come and see the team. Fingers crossed that we get into the playoffs. Now, selection headaches aren't really things that we've had too often this season, but with these players coming back to fitness now, I mean, Kaikai, Zyro, do they come straight into the team? Does McGuinness get a rest straight away? I mean, Jose, it sounds like he's got a slight injury, so he's unlikely to be involved this weekend. But, you know, Marshall's, he was the player who was missing through personal issues last week, he would have been, and we heard what those were there. Mm-hmm. I mean, how does Cole go with his... How does he play his hand with so much attacking talent now at his disposal?
I'd play Marshy out wide, Mavi on the left, and then I'll put T in behind Josh. I'd drop Reeves. you've got those three. Imagine just staring straight at those three. Mavididi, Fosu and Marshall. Jesus.
Zyro or McGuinness?
I think Josh will start. I think Zyro did have a big injury, didn't he? So I know he's not injured now, but I think it'd be a bit much because I think he's probably more than likely to change a game than probably Josh is. But I think Josh had a nice week off last week. He's probably raring to go, but it just gives us that other option now. But I don't know, like I think Tom said before we went on there, who's going to play in that in the middle, and I think that's what the question will be.
I mean, is there one of the new signings that you think might surprise us, Tom, and might get a start?
I think maybe Kaikai, but I agree with Nafe. For me, I would keep the the players that we've had here before. So I'd probably have Marshall on one side, Mavadidi on the other, and like Naif, I'd probably put Fosu in behind McGuinness. The other question will be as well, with Forster Kaski presumably back fit now, we've seen how well Aribo's played recently. It's a difficult choice for Robbo. Mm. And as you said earlier, selection headache, really. Do we go with Aribo, who's just been sensational the last few weeks, or do you bring in Forster Kaski, who weighs in with his own goals and helps Kashi so much, and those two have such a good understanding together? So there's some options, which is good to see.
And either way that you go with it, I mean, whoever's left on the bench will be itching to prove a point. And so, like I say, even if we're 1-0, 0-0 in going into the last 20 minutes, I'll still fancy us. I will still fancy 100%. Us to bring someone off the bench and to change it. Now, what are you thinking for the Kashi back bet this week?
Well, I was going to do 3-1, but I'm not sure now. So I think if all one of us pick a goal scorer, agree on a score and put it out to poll tomorrow, and then see what.
Right.
Yeah, now I'll do a fiver this week because we didn't have a game this week.
Okay. So, all right. So keep your eyes on the Charlton Live Twitter. Yeah. We'll do a Kashi back bet. But let's have your actual predictions for the match, please, gentlemen.
3-1.
To Charlton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go 2-1.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going to weigh in with a prediction this week because I don't often.
5-0.
4-0. That'd be ridiculous.
He was going to say 6 or 7.
He was going to go with 6, wasn't he?
4.
So I was suddenly hit by reality. It happens every now and then.
You wait when we win 6-0 now.
Right. Obviously, we hopefully be back on Sunday to look back at whatever happens. But just a reminder as well, the Upbeats Walk is going to be... I can't remember what game it is now, but it's coming up in Southend. No, we've already played Southend. But the Upbeats Walk is going to come back at some point for a game in the future. So check out the Charlton website if you want to sign up to that. And as I mentioned earlier, the quiz for Prostate Cancer UK is going to be down at the Bexley Heath Marriott on the 26th of February, which is a Monday night. Carl Robinson's going to be there. Johnny Jackson's going to be there. Lee Bowyer's going to be there. And some former players as well, like Cole Lieben's obviously going to be there. Scott Minto, Bob Boulder, all these legends are going to be there. And we'll be there. I assumed we're just grouped in with legends. We've got a Charlton Live table. If you think you can beat me and, you know, whoever helps me at the quiz, then good luck to you. But, you know, buy your tickets and be there. It's all for a very good cause. Right, this has been Charlton Live, the big match preview. Thank you for joining us here on Maritime Radio. Thank you, Tom Wallen.
Cheers, Louis.
Thank you, Nathan Muller.
Wally Munamende.
I've been Louis Mendes. This has been the big match preview. Let's hope that Charlton can continue their fine run of form on Saturday at home to Oxford. Come on, you Reds. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.